Juno Afternoon is made possible with support from Hanson Grass, delivering IT support to local businesses for over 15 years. Our first guest is Bruce Van Dusen, who many may know as the ED of Polaris House. But today he's wearing his writer's hat, and we're here to talk about his book, Out of Darkness, The Journey to Hope. Bruce, welcome to the show.
Great. Thanks, Scott. It's good to be here.
It's nice to have you here. So, yeah, let's just touch briefly on the Polaris House, what you do over there.
Well, we are a program that provides services and supports for adults that are living with mental illness diagnosis. We work to ensure that our members have safe, affordable, quality housing, access to employment, education programs in the community, and everything else. It's a safe, welcoming place where a person can provide valuable skills and talents to the community.
Okay. And in your hand right now, you're holding Out of Darkness, The Journey to Hope. When did you publish this?
First published in 2006.
Okay. And how'd it come to be?
Well, I was doing some work with a mental health center, and I was part of a group that put together an annual training for mental health professionals, case managers, those kinds of things. And I was working with Mark, and I'd been working with Mark for a few years. And in that time, I'd done presentations on my own recovery and helped other people put their presentations together. And then one afternoon, Mark was like, you know, you really need to write this down. This could be a good story that might help people and, you know, really give some people some support and encouragement. So I wrote it down. You know, I thought maybe, okay, my story will help others. I'll write it down, and hopefully I can sell a few books too.
And a minute ago we were talking, what is this book about? Why don't you put it into your words?
This book is really my journey into darkness. You know, mental illness and addiction is just completely insidious. It had a hold of me and control of my life without me even knowing it. And it took me to some really, really dark, hopeless places. But the real message is the victory over that darkness is that there is light, there is hope, and we should not give up on anyone, no matter how ill we think they might be.
Okay. Can you read us a selection, please?
Sure. This first section goes back to about 1988 when I was 27 years old. I arrived in the city the next morning and began what was to be the darkest and most desolate time of my life. I wandered aimlessly for days. I would sleep where I could find space. I would eat when I could remember where the soup kitchens were. I wasn't drinking or doing drugs at this time. I couldn't get my spirits up high enough to panhandle. Things had gone from bad to really worse. I would find a place to sleep and wake up with the police telling me to move on. That happened several times. Since there was no warrant for my arrest, they simply moved me from place to place. I think if they could have, they would have taken me to a hospital. But I wasn't sick in an obvious way. I had no outward signs other than my terrible appearance. They couldn't have known I was mentally ill. One night I fell asleep in the panhandle under a tree. I thought I'd found a spot where I could finally rest. There were no people around, and the weather that night was a little warmer. So I passed out and went into a deep sleep. I remember having a dream of being in the rain and thank my lucky stars it was only a dream. But when I woke up sometime later, I discovered that the park sprinklers had come on and I was thoroughly soaked and terribly cold. I did the only thing I could. I got up and walked around until I was dry. I was still cold and hungry. I think the worst part of this ordeal was the isolation and loneliness. When I looked up at the world, all I saw was a place with no room in it for me. I believed there was no end to this loneliness and the pain would continue until I finally died. I began to think of death as the solution, and I hoped that I would die soon. So that's the bottom. That's where it got as dark as it ever got and seemed pretty bad. So anyway, let's fast forward about 8 years, and I've begun my career as a mental health professional. And so here we go. My job entailed going into the community and meeting with patients in their homes to talk about how they could get better. My message was simple. Use the treatment to cope instead of no treatment or drugs and alcohol. Many times I would work with people who had been down and out for years. These were people who were exactly where I had been. I worked with people who had lost sight of their dreams just as I had done. I took my message of hope to them and showed them there is a way. I talked to them about overcoming problems and realizing they could manage. I know I helped a couple of people, and they gave me much more than I'd ever got from a paycheck. They were teaching me about life and about what being knocked down repeatedly can do to a person. I knew from my own experiences what it was like to be sick and full of symptoms. This new job showed me how to help someone who was in that awful place and what great effort it took to get out of there. Getting out of the darkness is not easy, not for them and not for me.
So, thank you for sharing. And so in the early pages of this book, you talk about your battle and eventual victory over schizophrenia.
Yes.
May I ask how that has manifested itself in you?
How recovery has manifested itself in
schizophrenia.
Well, when I was 17 and I was in the military, it was the first time I was diagnosed. But through working with psychiatrists over the years, they discovered that I really became sick with schizophrenia around age 9. So I developed it as a child. I had experiences that I thought were normal. But now with education and some therapy, I've learned that really, no, those experiences really weren't normal. I didn't know it. I think that's when we talk about insidiousness, that these diseases will come up and take over a person. The person doesn't even know it. And that happened to me in my childhood. I would be out playing with the other kids, but I was always real paranoid, I would think that they're somehow plotting against me. Or they're somehow thinking of ways to hurt me and that kind of a thing. I was really paranoid about that. I thought about, things like being kind of a superpower kind of a thing. And when I would bring that up, my friends would kind of go, well, that's pretty weird. We're not thinking that. We're not doing that. But that just fed the whole thing, their denial, right? Mm-hmm. They're out to get me and now they're denying it, And so what I learned from that, though, was not a healthy way to cope with it. I just learned how to stuff it, how to keep it quiet, how to not talk about it. So those childhood experiences where I felt weird, not a place, and paranoid seemed normal to me. I knew it kind of looked odd to other people, but I just stuffed all that down,
And you said you finally got a diagnosis when you were, 19 or 17?
When I was 17 in the military.
How did that feel?
I was pretty sick. It didn't really have much impact on me. They could have told me anything. It wouldn't have had much impact on me. I was failing in the middle. I was failing miserably in the military. I got into a lot of trouble. I'm fortunate that I got an honorable discharge and they let me go. Like when I was in boot camp, I was hallucinating. But again, from my viewpoint, it wasn't unusual. I thought that's just the way things were for everyone, mm-hmm. that we were all experiencing these things. It wasn't until later when they could get me on some medications and get me calmed down enough to talk to me to say, this is what's really going on in your life, that I could begin to see that, yeah, I have a problem. I need to take care of it. I need to work on it.
About how old were you then?
Oh, boy, when I started taking medications, when I was when I was 17 in the military, and when I was discharged, my parents and family got me right into a mental health hospital, so I started taking medications. And I didn't personally really buy into the whole concept of me being ill and getting into recovery until probably in 1988 when things were really dark. That's where it settled in. I finally realized I was sick.
About how old were you then?
27.
27, that's right.
Yeah.
And when did all this sort of turn for you? When did you start
seeing
the light?
It really turned for me when a peer-run statewide consumer group in Indiana kind of took me under their wing. They invited me to a training for peer advocacy, and I went to this training, and I was thinking, I don't really know what this is. It's a chance to get into the city. They're putting me up in a hotel. They're giving me a meal stipend. They're paying for all the training and transportation. So this is just an opportunity for me to be closer to the city where I can have a hotel room and drink at night. That's what I thought I was going to be doing, right? But the first day I got into that training and they started talking about what the training was going to be about, I just was really relating to it. I was like, wow, that's me. And you're saying I can what? I can do this? I can be successful? And so it just really resonated with me. And that night after that first day, I went to the bar and I sat down. I was having my dinner at the bar and I decided I wasn't going to drink, that I was going to go ahead and do my best to finish this training because it just really touched me. And that's what I did. So I finished that 2-week training and went back to the country with my mom and dad at their farm and lived there for a year. And then my dad retired and we moved to the city. And when I got to the city, I saw that the Key Consumer Organization, the group that had trained me and had helped me out with that, had an opening for a peer advocate. And so I went and I applied for that job and I got it. So the short of it is peer support was vital to my recovery. There was a group of people that took me in and showed me that I was just like they are, that they were just like I am, but they were being successful. They were off of Social Security checks, and they were living on the money that they were earning. And they were very encouraging and supportive in giving me the message that I could achieve that too.
If you're just tuning in, we're speaking with author Bruce Van Dusen, who's talking about his book, Out of Darkness, The Journey to Hope. Okay, so peer support, advocacy, the sense of community that you found, you're in your late 20s. This was a really turning point. Thinking of that, thinking of people in our community who may have challenges with addiction or mental illness, what is your advice to them?
Hang in there and don't give up. You know, find people who give you positive messages. Find people who are willing to, willing to explain how some things can work. I'll give you an example of what I mean. I got into some recovery groups, and there were messages to people like, "Oh, you're still drinking because you haven't suffered enough," or "You're still drinking because you're not ready to get sober," you know, or some sort of personal defect, you know. And that message just never worked for me. What worked for me is when I got into some groups with people that were saying, "Yep, you know, you can do this. Here's a path that a lot of us have used, and we'll talk to you and we'll tell you about the path that we've taken, and you can make up your own mind about how to go about getting better." You know, so it's the positive messages that really made a difference for me, getting away from the people who are talking about my illness as some sort of character defect.
Peer advocacy is where you started there in your late 20s. In a sense, you're doing that today, right?
Yes, I am. Yeah. The Clubhouse is an evidence-based practice. It's not necessarily a peer support business or a peer support model, but as a peer, I do plenty of peer support during the day. You know,
if one of our listeners wanted to come down and talk to you, would that be appropriate?
That's fine. We welcome anyone to come in and talk with us.
Got it.
Yeah.
And if we want to get a copy of Out of Darkness, The Journey to Hope, how can we do that?
I think the best way to do that is just give me a quick call and we'll set up a way for you to get a hard copy. Again, my phone number is 907-500-4303. Or if you're into ebooks, and I know a lot of people are into ebooks now, it's available at Amazon ebooks and Smashwords.
Again,
you have to be careful, though. Some of the copies of the book are selling in the hundreds of dollars. And the reason that that is because it's a discontinued college textbook. This book was used at the Indiana School of Social Work and the Indiana School of Psychology for several years as a textbook. So,
but if we call you, it's not going to be 100.
I think I can part with a copy for about $10. Right. And if you go to the ebook,
maybe even sign.
I think,
right?
Oh yeah, if you get the hard copy from me, I will sign it for you, no doubt. Want it to be worth everything that it can be.
All right. We've been speaking with author Bruce Van Dusen, who also happens to be the executive director of Polaris House, in his book, Out of Darkness, The Journey to Hope. What is that, Bruce, about how many pages?
Oh, this one is the new and revised, much better edition than the first one. 118 pages.
Got it.
Yeah.
I enjoyed reading it, and it's a unique, first-person account of your entire journey. Not entire, but a lot of it.
Yeah, and that's what I really want it to be. I want it to be, it's like I can relate to someone who's really down and out, but at the same time, I want my message to be a message of hope. We'll figure something out. We'll do something.
Bruce Van Dusen, find him at the Polaris House. If you want a copy, call 500-4303 or find it on Amazon. Bruce, it's always nice speaking with you.
Thank you, Scott.
Anything else you'd like to add?
No, I just think that the weather's kind of freaking me out, but it's like over 40 degrees out there right now. It's like, what? Okay.
The days of wine and roses are distant days.